from Anshe Svar Beth El Emeth Congregation, it's time to take 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to our discussion of Parshat Chukat. Questions on Parshat Chukat. We have two stories juxtaposed one to another. Parshat Chukat. I'd like to ask a number of questions. First, we hear Vayishma Kaniya Malcharad Yosheva Negev. There was the king of the Canaanites. Who is the king of the Canaanites? The Jews already conquering Canaan? And then he took a captive, Ishmael Shevi. Rashi says he only took one captive, one Shifcha. We had a whole war over one Shifcha that was taken. The Jews vowed, if you will give us this battle, then we will just declare all the property to God, will not benefit from it at all. Why do they have to vow that? If they're fighting against the enemy, the Jewish people are the chosen people of God, they're marching to the land of Israel, the chosen land, then why do we need to make a vow? Why do we need to a vow that we will destroy the property? Where else do we find that people make a vow in order to win a battle? Where else do we find that the property was declared ownerless, declared not belonging to the Jewish people after a victory in battle? And indeed, we did destroy it. What is this story? Is this the first conquest in the land of Israel? Is this, as Ramban says, on the other side of the Jordan? Or is this the first conquest in Israel? Does it remind us of any conquest in Israel that we make later on in the book of Joshua? Does it remind us of any other vows that took place later? Notice also, who made this vow? Why didn't Moshe make the vow? Why didn't Joshua make the vow? Yisrael, the Israelites, the whole of Israel made the vow. What does that mean? What does that tell us about the Israelites at this time? Then we have a second story. That they had Nechashim HaSerafim. There were these terrible types of serpents that they Vayashkudam, Vayamat Amrab Yisrael. It's a terrible plague. There were the serpents, and many, many died. What happened? 40 years they're in the desert. They didn't die. What happened? Is it that Aaron died and there was no longer any clouds of glory? Then, Vayadaber Ha'am Elokim Moshe, they spoke against God. They spoke against Moshe. Is this the same story all over again? The same story of Jews who were sinning? So Moshe prayed for them. He put up a mast. He made a silver serpent, a copper serpent. They put it on a mast, and anyone who looked at it would be healed. Rashi tells us it's not magical. Ibn Ezra said it's not magical. Rather, those who would look toward heaven, look toward God, they would be healed. Also, by Yipalel Moshe Baran, he prayed for them. So I don't understand, if there's some magical power to the serpent, why do they need to pray for them? Why do they need to put up a mast? If turning to God is enough, why don't you, if you pray, then you'll be saved. If Moshe prayed, then they'll be saved. Why do you have to have this copper serpent? Furthermore, we know that later on, Book of Kings, chapter 18, verse 3, that that it became an idol. People started worshiping this thing. Why wouldn't they? After all, it's the only magic item we have. When you look at this thing, it saves you from the scorpion and the serpent. So if it's a good thing, then why did it become idolatry? And why did Chizkiah destroy it? If it's a bad thing, then why did God tell him to make it? And if it's a good thing, then why did Moshe need to pray as well for it? So these are some interesting questions. Also, the Jews say, "Vayomru chatan." The Jews said, "We have sinned. We spoke against you. We spoke against God." And Moshe prayed for them. So we have a case of the tshuva of the Jewish people. Is this the tshuva of the Jewish people? What's going on? Another question. Rabbi Khan at the Shivat Har Tzion asked a question. He says, "I don't understand. The Jews were told that Ma'apilim, they're not allowed to go up to the land of Israel. But now they go up and they fight. And everything's fine. So how do they know that Hudar and Eder, at this point, they can go up and fight? And what's going on here in general in Parshat Chukat? They seem to be conquering the land of Israel. Is this the same old, same old? Is this a Parsha of the Jews in the desert and complaining and Moshe prayed for them? Or is this something else? something else going on in our parsha. What's going on at the end of Parshat Chukat with the conquest of Sihon and Og? Is this a turning point in the Jewish story? What is the significance of these last parts of the parsha? Yes, the parsha speaks about the red heifer and the mystery of it. Yes, the parsha speaks of the death of Miriam and Aaron. Yes, it speaks of the sin of the hitting of the rock. But let's not ignore these other sections about the conquest, about the war against Arad, which is in southern Israel. Or was it? And let's not forget about this story of the snakes. What does it tell us? And are we entering a new era of the Jewish people? And what's new about it? Think about this over Shabbat. Look in the Mefarshim, look in the different commentaries. And let's try to understand this parsha in greater depth and understanding. These are my questions for Parshat Chukat. Thank you for joining us. Wish everyone a great Shabbos. And join us each week for a discussion of the parsha. And thanks to Jason Lefkowitz, our producer. Thank you.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein. To learn more, visit asby.org.